Welcome to my commentary on 2 Thessalonians. This section, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 18, through the end of the chapter. We have a theme going on in the next few verses. Let's check it out and see what the theme is. Paul says in verse 6, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you, brother, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you have received from us." Paul is speaking as an apostle. Again, the word command is not a dictatorial command, but he is passing along God's word to these people. And in this situation, they're not to be idle. So Paul explains what not being idle is in the next few verses. He continues in verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example." Paul and those with him, in one sense of the word, were mentors. That's the modern word. I don't use that very often, but Paul was encouraging these Thessalonians to follow their example, not the example of the world or anybody else's. And now he tells them what their example really looked like when they were with these Thessalonians. He says, "We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it." This is interesting. Paul paid for the food he ate. He paid for the lunches that people invited him to. "On the contrary," Paul says, "we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you." Verse 9, "We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow." The point is this. Paul did have an apostolic right to receive financial remuneration. Of course, that's within, you know, loving bounds. He's not saying he could get rich from the gospel. But this is what Paul is saying. He worked night and day so that he could be the example that they, the Thessalonians, could follow the example, and other people could follow their example. The whole point is simple. Paul was not living by faith, as we used to hear back in the 1970s. "I'm not going to work. I'll just live by faith." Well, that wasn't really Paul's attitude. Paul worked when he could. He paid his own way when he could. When he couldn't, he trusted the Lord. And he expected those in the body of Christ to do the same. Why? Because he loved the people God gave him to care for. He did not want to be a burden. He did not want to take from them. He wanted to give to them. Verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat." Now, of course, if the man was a paraplegic, that would be a different story. But he's talking about able-bodied men who were idle, who we will see he calls busybodies. They must work. If they don't work, don't feed them. As simple as that, Paul says. Verse 11, "We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Verse 12, "Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat." Christian thinking, New Testament thinking, is you work for your livelihood. That's the bottom line. Unless God really calls you elsewhere. Verse 13, "And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right." And in this case, what is right is earning your own living. Verse 14, if anyone does not obey this instruction, the instruction of this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. So the busybodies, the idle guys here, Paul says, don't associate with them. Shame them. This is interesting. Paul is actually telling people to shame their brother in the Lord if they're not living appropriately. Does that sound Christian? Well, that is fundamental to those of us who live in the body of Christ. Yes, it is appropriate at times to shame a brother who is in the wrong. That's not religiously or socially correct these days, but that is New Testament thinking. Verse 15, Paul says, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but warn him as a brother. So again, he's not an enemy. He's not fallen from grace. He's still a believer, still a brother in the Lord. The idea is shame him in order for him to come to the knowledge of the truth so that he could live the life he is supposed to live. Meaning in this case, he should be working for his keep. Verse 16, final greetings. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord is with all of you. Now remember, peace is what these people needed because they lived in a world where Roman culture and even the Jewish culture was really coming down on them. They needed inner peace. Verse 17, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all of my letters. This is how I write. Paul didn't write the whole letter here. He just wrote the end of it. That was normally the way he wrote. He dictated his letters, but the final greeting, or the, in our case, the final couple of verses, he would actually write in his own handwriting to prove that it was actually him dictating the letter. 2 Thessalonians ends with verse 18, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We all need the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, grace has two definitions. It's more than unmerited favor. That's the first definition. It's also the God-given ability to do his will. Grace is also used in the New Testament with this second definition, but very few Christians understand that part. I hope you have enjoyed and learned from my commentary on both 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Thanks for listening.